Welcome to the PIO Podcast, a forum for all things public information related for police, fire, EMS, and local government. A place to grow and develop your public information skills. I am your host, Robert Tornaveni. I have over 11 years of experience as a PIO and 27 years as a law enforcement officer. I am proud to announce that we have partnered with the PIO Toolkit to expand and grow the podcast. Thank you to Christine Townsend and Law Publications for this amazing opportunity. To contact the show, email robert@piotoolkit.com. We need your feedback on how we're doing. Please rate us on whatever platform you listen or send us a review via email. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast to get notified of the latest episodes. Thank you for listening. Sit back and enjoy the next episode. Good afternoon. Today on the PIO Podcast, we have Sergeant Stuart Smith. He's a public information officer from the Troup County Sheriff's Office. Stuart, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate being here today.
Yeah, Stuart. So you've been around with the Sheriff's Office for 20 years. Can you tell the listeners about your background?
Yeah, so actually I got my public safety career started back in late 1997. I started as a 911 dispatcher for our local 911 center. And prior to that, I did some work as a law enforcement explorer when I was in high school, just kind of learning things. I did that for about 5 years and got the chance to get my career started in 97, and I did that until about 1999, and I went to Police Academy in Columbus, Georgia, and became a deputy sheriff, and did that work for a couple years, and then had the opportunity to go back to 911 as a supervisor and trainer, and did that for several years, and then in January of 2013, I came on board with a new sheriff here at the sheriff's office as his PIO, and I've been in that seat ever since.
Now, how did that end up becoming something that you were interested in? Because that's not normally what law enforcement wants to go into is the public relations field.
Yeah, so it was honestly a conversation that me and the sheriff had. I'd known him for several years. He was actually my explorer advisor back in those early days. And I worked for him here at the sheriff's office, and we had a great relationship. And he and I talked during his campaign for sheriff, kind of how he wanted his administration to look and some key people that he wanted to put in place. I had no PIO background, but I kind of knew a little bit about the job, what his expectations were, the community relation things that he wanted to do, and he really didn't have anybody else in mind. And he and I talked about it, and it was just something that I felt led to do and wanted to do and pursued it. And here we are, 9.5 years later, and it's working out pretty good.
Excellent. So speaking about the sheriff's office, how big is it and what's the population of the county that you guys serve?
Yeah, sure. So we've got about 160 full-time employees. That includes sheriff's office staff and jail staff. Being a sheriff's office in Georgia, we are mandated to run a jail. And so that's the two sides of our houses. We've got, we're a full service sheriff's office, which means we have a patrol division, a court services division, juvenile division, training, internal affairs, investigations, and our jail side. And so we're a full service sheriff's office. We've got about 160 employees. Troup County, population wise, is about 71,000. But you count the tourists and the businesses that come in here. We're home to Kia Motors Manufacturing of Georgia. It's a large facility that makes the Kia cars in North America. We're also home to Great Wolf Lodge of Georgia, a lot of industry, and it was announced several months ago that Remington is moving one of their manufacturing corporate headquarters here to Troup County in the next year or so. And so we are a growing county, but you, like I said, you add the visitors, the commuters, the travelers, that's probably another 5,000 to 10,000 people per day.
And where in Georgia is Troup County located?
So Troup County is located on the Alabama state line on Interstate 85 and 185. We're about an hour south of Atlanta and probably about an hour and 20 minutes north of Montgomery. And so we're situated between those two metroplexes there.
Okay. That gives everybody a better understanding of where you're located.
Yes, sir.
So as the public information officer, which is a lot of responsibility on its own, you have a variety of other responsibilities, don't you?
I do. Primarily, obviously, as the PIO, my primary function is to be the media liaison. And also, I am our social media manager. We run Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And also, we have a website. I'm not the direct manager, our IT department is, but I have a lot of input in that. I run a lot of school and youth programs, as a lot of PIOs do. I'm also attached to our local emergency management office, doing those ESF functions. So I work under them a lot of times. I also serve on our local 911 board of directors. I'm the vice chair of that. Just head up a lot of community projects, a lot of other things. And like many other PIOs, whatever the sheriff says, do, you do. So,
Isn't that the truth?
yes, sir.
All right. So when you first became a PIO, since you had no background in it, in reality, what would special challenges did you face and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, so just learning that role as the media liaison, learning what the media was going to ask of you, and it was definitely baptism by fire. But I was fortunate that my sheriff was a former PIO here at the sheriff's office. He did it for years and kind of moved up to the ranks. But obviously, his time here, there wasn't the issue of social media. There wasn't a lot of this 24-hour news cycle. So he was dealing with a lot of the deadlines, which now deadlines really don't exist.
Right.
You get it when you get it, and they get it when they get it. But I guess just learning how to work with the media, learning how to draft a news release that was going to be acceptable. And of course, a lot of that's changed over the years. And then obviously, learning to navigate how to be an effective manager of social media pages. When we first started, we were just doing Facebook. We had our Facebook page going on the first day we took office. And then as time developed, we dipped into Twitter. And just recently, a couple of years ago, we got into Instagram. And that was not really one I was going to get into, but you learn your population and you learn what people go to. And so I guess just learning that, and I was fortunate to have some good friends in the PIO business that kind of took me under their wings and taught me the business, met a lot of great people. And so I guess just that baptism by fire, and then holding your first press conference is always fun, having that camera beside you on the side of the road, and just understanding that the media is going to show up whether you invite them or not. So I guess just learning that aspect of it, of that media relationship.
Oh, that's some good points here. You have another responsibility. You're also a board member for the National Information Officers Association, correct?
Yes, sir.
So
So,
let's talk about your duties and then really let's talk about the organization as well.
absolutely. So I was introduced to the organization, I believe, around 2015. I had a local PIO here with our local fire department at the LaGrange Fire Department. He and I had known each other for several years, and he introduced me to the agent, to the organization. And I joined it, went to my first conference back in, I think it was 2015, down in Clearwater. And I felt like, and I wrote about this in our most recent newsletter, how I felt like the new kid on campus walking into school. And if you've ever been there, it's overwhelming when you walk in that room and there's hundreds of people there and you only know one of them. And so, but, very welcomed by the staff, very welcomed by the fellow PIOs, and I met a couple of people. But then the next year we went to Nashville and I made it a goal to meet a few more people, and I did. And now I back in October, I was appointed, or anointed, whatever word you want to use, to be the regional director for Region 4. And so it is just an amazing organization. And if there's PIOs out there that are not part of NIOA or a professional information officer group, I ask them why they're not. And I understand sometimes budgets are an issue, but you know, find the money and get a part of these organizations. And like I said, I've been in this organization for several years and just kind of worked my way through things, meeting people, meeting the right people, making those connections. And, you know, obviously somebody on that board saw something in me to put me in this position, and it's certainly been a blessing for me.
So what, as an area liaison or whatever it is for Region 4, is that what you said? Yes. What are your responsibilities? What do you have to do?
So number one, Region 4 is the largest region in NIOA. It's basically the Southeast. It covers Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi, the Carolinas, and Tennessee. We've got about 500 members in NIOA. And Region 4 alone has about 200 plus members on my last roster I got a couple of days ago. So basically, my main functions are to attend the conferences, which I do, and to help with logistics and planning and stuff like that. To try to hold as many meetings as I can with my members. Obviously, that large of a membership, I try to do what Zooms and what phone calls I can. When I'm in the area, I try to have lunch with some of my members. A couple months ago, I'm fortunate, I've got a few members next door to me in Alabama. There's about six or seven in that one area, and we met and had lunch one day. I was on vacation a couple months ago down in the Pensacola area, met up with a good friend of mine, just had some coffee with him. Recruit new members is a thing. Newsletter submissions, I try to be proactive in doing that. Again, recruiting, just being out there for the people. And also, when there is a crisis or something occurs and these PIOs are maybe screaming for help or grasping for straws, I try to reach out to them. And, you know, if they need some fellow PIOs to come in and help them out. Back when the tornadoes hit up in Kentucky, back December, I think it was, just a massive deal up there. I started reaching out to the PIOs up there. And they had already had PIOs reaching out to them and were going to start driving in. And a few of them, I told them, I'm like, all right, put the brakes on it, you know, let them kind of get situated, and then we'll get back in touch with you. And so just being a liaison to a lot of the memberships and just being a voice to them and helping the board of directors out as much as I can.
You know, I have found that the amazing thing about the NOA, when I went to my first conference, and I think it was either 2017 or 2018 down in Clearwater. And you talk about how you get connected to people so quickly. Right. If you can, you know, it is daunting when you walk in that room and everybody is in there. It is amazing. But if taking those moments when you have coffee, when they have their coffee in the morning, to go talk to different people and network when you're out of the room, I mean, it's imperative. And that builds those relationships for those crises that you just talked about, and getting people just to drop everything and go home.
It does. And, you know, like I said, my first couple of conferences, I was just kind of, you know, getting used to it, meeting a few new people. But as the years have gone on, I've met some amazing people, and kind of what started out as, you know, professional PIO relationships have kind of grown into those personal friendships. And I'm on a kind of a group text or a group chat with several of these PIOs, and some are from Georgia, some are from Colorado, Virginia. It was just a lot of the ones that we really connected with. And we text each other sometimes once or twice a day. And it may be work related, it may be family related, or it may be, hey, you know, let's just send a funny meme or a funny GIF out, you know, meet those connections. And so it's those relationships that have been built through this organization. And like you said, the training is phenomenal at these conferences, but the networking, and that's why I'm glad when we have these conferences, we purposely build in that networking time, be it around the pool or karaoke or just sitting outside, you know, meeting people, and just start handing out those business cards, because a lot of times when the crap hits the fan, those people will reach out to you and see what you need. And a lot of times we'll bounce ideas off each other. I've got a good friend of mine up in, you know, around the Metro Atlanta area. Anytime we send a press release out, we copy each other on it. Not really to critique each other, but just, hey, this is what we're doing. Is there anything else I could polish up on it, you know?
Right, exactly. All right, so what do you see as one of the greatest areas needed for improvement for a public information officer today?
You know, I don't know really improvement, but I think one thing we need to continue to do is take advantage of social media. And it still puzzles me. I see a lot of departments. I've got a lot of friends that are in agencies in public safety that do not have a social media presence. And I don't know if it's because their chief executive doesn't want them to have it, but they're scared of it. But I get it. Social media, there's a lot of trash on there. But agencies, and we try to take advantage of social media to our fullest. Just taking advantage of social media, taking advantage of those community relations, and put as much positivity as you can out there on social media and build those community relationships to put a lot of that good stuff in the bank. Because when you have an uh-oh moment, you know, hopefully that's not what the community is going to remember. They may see it for a few minutes, but hopefully they're going to see all the positivity that you're putting out there, because if we're being honest, there's a lot of negativity that's facing not just law enforcement, but public safety in general, especially when it comes to recruiting. You know, we've had issues here keeping staff, and I think it's just a nationwide problem. And so, and I'm very fortunate that my sheriff allows me the flexibility to be creative on social media. Obviously, I know my limits, and you should as a PIO, but he allows me to, you know, just be creative on social media and the public to see us as not just, you know, foot soldiers out there pulling cars over and taking people to jail. They can see us as, you know, actual people. I took advantage last week or the week before when it was National Correction Officers Week. I went back in the jail and just interviewed some of our jailers just about their job and spent some time back there. And I put that on Facebook as like a 4-minute video. And that way people could see what goes on back there. I've spent some time riding with we've got people, deputies assigned to the interstate for traffic enforcement. I went and rode with them one day and just did a story on those guys out there. And Joe, just putting those faces out there and so the community can see, you know, what we do every day.
Right. And it's interesting. You use the same phrase that I've heard hundreds of PIOs use lately, and it's putting it in the bank. And it's amazing that still there are some that don't understand the value of banking goodwill. Yes. Because when the stuff hits the fan, that goodwill comes through. It does. And if they see that you are genuinely working in the community to help and be involved in the community, interact in positive ways, the anomaly of the bad incident that happens or it's not going to weigh as heavy on not only the agency, but on the public as well.
Yeah. And one program that I'm real heavily involved in our schools, it's called a junior deputy program, and it's geared to third graders. And I go in the schools. We've got a great relationship with our local school system, and they allow me to come in to meet with the third graders in 11 different elementary schools and teach them 4 lessons on just being safe in life. And at the end of the year, actually this week, we're hosting 11 of those kids that were chosen as kind of like the top students of their school. And so they'll spend the day with me and the sheriff and our staff and kind of just, you know, of course, they'll get to miss school for a day. That's a plus for them. But they'll hang out with us and just see us. And then we do like social media safety presentations. I do a summer youth camp for kids in July, and I'm already cranking that, you know, I'm already planning that thing. And so spending those relationships with those kids. And I tell parents and teachers all the time, you know, I'm seeing maybe 900 third graders a year. I know I'm not going to impact all of them, but if I can impact and make a difference in one of those kids, then it's well worth my time and energy to do the program.
Absolutely. And you can never weigh that impact that you're going to have in one. I have a I had a thing that happened to me years ago when I was in the schools. Never head down, never talk. And I would say, and I made it my mission, good morning every day. I would say to her, good morning, good morning, good morning. And one day she didn't come to school. So I ended up finding out that she had hurt herself. And one of the things she ended up doing is she was hospitalized. So when she came back to school, I saw her walking down the street or down the sidewalk, or not the sidewalk, the hallway. And I said good morning to her again. And she comes walking right up to me and gives me a big hug. And I was like, what's going on? She goes, can I talk to you? I'm like, yeah. So go in my office, sit down. She told me how she was going to commit suicide.
Right.
And the reason she did not commit suicide is because she knew how upset I would be. And I wouldn't be able to say good morning to her every day. Yep, that little thing about good morning.
Exactly.
I get chills every time I talk about this because it is such an impactful moment to realize how you hit one. That's all that matters.
Exactly. Yeah. And like when I do this youth camp, it's for 9 and 10 year olds 1 week and 11 and 12 year olds the next week. And there's a lot of years where that second week for the older kids, there may be a kid that's came every 4 years, you know, and some of the, it's not really a camp where the parents are dragging the kids to get there. It's not like they're going to math class or something. We try to have fun with them and have a good time. A lot of these kids want to come.
Right.
So, you know, and I've got a lot of adults that work with me and they'll call me back in January. The adults will, hey, when you got camp, remember me to help you out, you know? And so it's, like I said, just that work in the community, you know, putting in as much bank as you can, because one thing, and I wanted to mention this while I'm on with you, for our PIOs and a lot of these executives, is one thing we've seen here in this area, and they're making their ways around different parts of the country, are these self-proclaimed First Amendment auditors. They're showing up with their cell phones and they're pushing the limits. And we had a visit about a month ago and it went okay, but he's also made visits elsewhere where it's not gone okay. And so one thing when we talk about just the improvement that you could do is you really need to be on top of your game when it comes to some of these people that may show up with cameras, because everybody's a reporter these days. It doesn't matter if they're professional amateur. Yep. Just understand where these people can be with cameras, where they can't be with cameras. And unfortunately, some of these people know the First Amendment better than we do.
Yep.
So we know Georgia law or whatever state you're in, we know that law front and back, but sometimes these basic amendments that have been around for years, we sometimes forget about them. And these people, they study them left and right, and they know the limits they can push. And so I just encourage people, if somebody shows up with a camera, you know, and they're in that public area, just smile at them, talk to them, and tell them to have a good day, you know.
Exactly. You know, and that's important to do that training for staff to make them aware of it. I think that's part of one of our jobs as a PIO is to do training, yes. And to train our people. And if they, especially like just at a crime scene, just if somebody walks up to them at a crime scene and has an interaction with them, what they should say and what they shouldn't say, because a lot of the officers, you know, hey, get out of here, and they'll swear at them or something. And
exactly.
That's not what you want on audio.
No.
That's going to hurt.
No.
So let me jump back into something that just popped into my eye and I wanted to ask you is, so your sheriff obviously understands the value of a public information officer if he's bringing you in from day one.
Yes, sir.
How, where you are probably obviously in the decision-making process through your agency when things are going on, how do PIOs that are still not at the table or in the room when the decision's being made, how do they show that value of the PIO to their executive?
Yeah, so I'm fortunate that I am in that inner circle of the command staff here at the sheriff's office. We have weekly command staff meetings and I'm in those meetings. All our division heads are in those meetings. And I would just encourage those PIOs that are not inside those circles or don't have the ear of their chief executive to just sit down and have a conversation with that person and just express to them the importance of the job. Obviously, if they're a chief executive and have a PIO position, they should understand a little bit about the importance of the job, because, you know, there are so many, and it just puzzles me, Bob, how many agencies are out there and don't have an appointed PIO. Even if it's a part-time position, you need that point person. But if you're in that position, you're not in that inner circle, just slowly try to make your way in that circle, talk to your chief executive, and just let them know that it is valuable that they understand the inner workings of the agency. And again, I'm in that circle, but there's things I miss. I mean, it happens, we're a good middle-sized agency that's busy and I miss things. I try to come in and read reports and stuff, but I would just encourage any PIO, again, that's not in that circle, just to talk with their chief executive. Obviously, they trust them enough to be in that position, but it's very valuable that they have the ear of their boss to at least solicit information from their boss and to be a giver of that information to their boss.
Excellent. I like the way you've summed that up. That's a good way for a PIO to work themselves into it. Excellent. All right, so let's light this up. Let's go to some rapid fire questions. Favorite musician, act, or style?
You know, I've got a very diverse playlist on my phone. It's from country to 90s to R&B. It's whatever, you know, I like to put my earbuds in when I'm working in the yard or just chilling out, and anything's going to pop up on there. And so I like country a lot. I've been in Nashville. That's an amazing town. But like I said, I've got a very diverse playlist on there. And so not really one particular genre.
That's okay. Chocolate or vanilla?
I love vanilla, but sometimes if you can get them both together, that's pretty darn good too.
There you go. The twist. Yes.
There you go.
A must read book in your mind.
So I don't read a ton of books. I'm not one that can just sit down and read a novel, but one that is on my bookshelf is Decision Points by President George W. Bush. It I love history. I love presidential politics, and reading that one was a very easy book. It's not a book where one chapter flows into another. It was kind of breaking down key decision points during his administration and life. And a lot of leadership points were picked out of that book.
If you could have coffee with anyone living or deceased, who would it be and why?
You know, probably thinking about that, because I love politics, I love history a lot, probably Abraham Lincoln. Just reading about his life and seeing books and movies on him, just the incredible the adversity that he went through. And obviously, because of it, you know, his life was taken. But I think just, you know, I think that'd be a fun one right there.
That's an interesting one, yeah. Favorite drink of choice?
Obviously, got to have my coffee in the morning, year round. And in the afternoon, probably a cold Pepsi with or without a hint of rum or something in there.
Yeah, it's just, sometimes you just got to have that. I agree.
That's right.
If you had to give up one thing for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh, man, that's I would love to give up paying bills, Rob. I mean, that would be
that's an awesome one. Yes, that would be great if we did not have to pay bills. Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I love it. If you could get a superpower, what would it be?
You know, I love swimming, but I've never gone scuba diving. So maybe swimming underwater would be pretty unique without any equipment. I think that would be pretty fantastic. Without the gills. I don't want to have the gills on me, you know.
There you go. All right. So, Stuart, final thoughts. What's your biggest takeaway you hope the listeners learn?
So, you know, obviously our listeners are the PIOs, and I think networking is key. Go to as many trainings as you can. There's so many things that NIOA offers at the national conference, but there's also things throughout the year. You know, FEMA does some amazing training. I'm taking a lot of FEMA training right now for the advanced and master certifications. But if I can just express anything, it's networking, because you never know when you may need something from these people, and just building those relationships. And like I said, when I started out years ago at NIOA, my circle was probably one person. And now, you know, being a regional director, it's a couple hundred people. But just networking is just key, in my opinion, in this business.
That's a good way to sum it up. And how can people best reach out to you if they want to learn more about you or connect?
So I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
All right. And I will put all that in the show notes.
Awesome. I appreciate it.
Stuart, thank you for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Yes, sir, Robert. I appreciate all you guys do for us.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast to get notified of the latest episode. If you are listening on a platform that allows reviews, please give us a review. We appreciate any review, good or bad. It helps us improve on each episode. Until next time, be safe.